It is time to basketball. The season is here. Welcome, everyone, to Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on Crack Sidewalks. Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you. Phil, we're in the mode now. We're going to start doing this every week, hopefully.
Yeah, we it may be 68 degrees outside here in Milwaukee, but we got to get into basketball season, apparently.
Yeah, what temperature would you prefer it to be in Milwaukee?
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'm all for global warming in the winter months in Milwaukee, but it just hasn't quite felt like basketball season considering I wore a t-shirt to the Bradley Center for the quote-unquote exhibition.
Well, baseball season is over, so we need something else to entertain us, so we're going to talk basketball. On today's show, we're going to go through the schedule, we're going to go game by game and kind of break down what we think Marquette's record will be in its third season under Coach Steve Wojciechowski, and we're also going to make some picks on the roster, maybe MVP, breakthrough players, and things like that. But Phil, let's start with the most recent thing in our minds, and that would be the exhibition game against Rockhurst, the first actual game we got to see with this new roster. You got to see some of it yourself. Take us through the game, and what did you get? It's just the exhibition game against a Division II team, but anything really standing out from you from the exhibition with Rockhurst?
Yeah, so just to set expectations, I was flying solo this weekend with no red for Owen, and so we got to the game 5 minutes after opening tip and left with 8 minutes to go, but I feel like we got the bulk of what was going on. But anyway, the game, I'll put it as succinctly as I can. If everyone was super excited about the offense for Marquette this season, there is no evidence that they should not be excited. And if they were concerned about offensive rebounding and potentially defensive rebounding, there was nothing in this game that made you think, we got this in the bag. So I think it really just reconfirmed that the team is what we think they are early. They're going to be pretty explosive offensively. They're going to be deep. They're going to be pretty good defensively, but rebounding and giving up free throws is going to be a concern.
Speaking of depth, let's touch on this before we get to too much more about the game. The big announcement actually coming out of the game, really just before the game, is that Sakar Anum is going to redshirt this year. You know, not something that I had planned on being announced, but to me it kind of makes sense, Phil, because you mentioned the depth. You know, as I say often, you're not going to rotate 12 guys when it gets down to it. So I think Sakar was probably in a position where he could look at, you know, maybe I crack the lineup and play 5 minutes here or there, or I could get another year of eligibility here and really be more of a contributor next year. Did anything surprise you about the announcement with Sakar?
It surprised me that they made it official, if you will. I just kind of would have assumed with red shirts, because you don't have to declare before the season that that someone's taking a red shirt. It really comes down to whether or not they play enough minutes to declare declare a year of eligibility used. So I was surprised they announced it, but it makes all the sense from a roster balance standpoint. And what it means to me, what it tells me is that Sakar is fully vested in the program.
And vice versa.
Correct. And the program's vested in him, and it gives us some roster balance in the outlaying years.
Right. So now he essentially becomes a part of Hauser and Howard's class, because they will all be sophomores next year with Sakar being a redshirt sophomore.
Correct. And we saw Sakar, and I mean, there was flashes of talent, previously, but I mean, he wasn't, let's be honest, he was going to be the 11th or 12th man on this roster. Let him get a year of strength and knowledge under his belt and see what he can do in the following 3 years when the roster starts to turn over a little bit and his experience becomes important, because this does add, again, as we have seniors leaving the team this year and next year, he becomes a important leader on the team with his depth of experience.
Yeah, I think that's an important point you made, though, about him being committed to Marquette, because I think a lot of kids in his situation, I don't have a spot on the roster right now, I should probably just transfer, right?
Right.
He'd probably bail out, you know, do what Jameel McKay did a couple years ago, find out where your spot in the rotation is in September, October, and then transfer and then leave the team. Didn't do that. He says he wants to be a Marquette Golden Eagle, and obviously the feeling is mutual, or else Wojo might have suggested he go look somewhere else. They didn't do that. Say, look, you're a part of the future, you're just not really have a huge role right now in the present. And everything you hear about Sakaar, what people, you know, tweet about him or other coaches or players talk about him, is that he is a workout warrior. And he puts his time in with the training staff and in the gym, and he's working hard to get better. He's just not quite a contributor yet. But as you mentioned, with the roster turns over soon next year, Juwan Johnson won't be here. And Kate Reinhart won't be here. So that's two guys who are kind of blocking him on the depth chart right now. So without them, I think he will probably have a significant role in the 3-4 spot next year. So I think it's good for him. I think it makes sense. Now, of course, if there's suddenly a rash of injuries, you take that red shirt off and he gets right back out there. But I think it also spares us from the Twitter and message board speculation of, oh, Sakaar's not playing. Is he going to transfer? I don't know. What's going on there? What's the reason? Why is he not playing?
That's a really good point. I do wonder, you know, like I said, I was a little surprised that they announced it ahead of time, but I do wonder if there wasn't some thought that went into it and to say, hey guys, we know the internet is the Wild West, especially around Marquette basketball. Let's, you know, just nip this in the bud and let everyone know that he's not playing for a very specific agreed to reason by all parties.
Yep, this is why he's not playing. The one bummer for him, if you're a redshirt, you don't get to travel with the team. So he'll have to watch all of Marquette's road games, including Friday's opener against Vanderbilt.
Is that true? I thought that was just if you were a transfer student.
No, I think it is as a redshirt, because that's what Matt Velasquez reported in his article. Okay. He had a good – if you check out JS Online, the very good beat writer for the Journal Sentinel, Matt Velasquez, he had a good interview with Sakaar and some sound bites from – or I say sound bites, but, you know, quotes from Sakaar about the redshirt and everything. He says it is kind of a bummer that he won't be able to travel with the team, so you will not see Sakaar on the bench cheering on his teammates in road or neutral site games, just at home games. So from that point, it's a bit of a bummer, but I think long term, I think it is the best thing for Sakaar, and I think it just about rules out any possibility that he would transfer, because if he would, he would have announced it by now.
And why burn a year of eligibility?
Exactly. So he's a part of the future, just not necessarily a big part of the present. So I thought that was interesting. Just wanted to touch on that before we get back to the game and all the guys who did play against Rockhurst. And minutes pretty spread out, as you might expect in an exhibition when the game kind of gets out of hand. Marquette won by 53 points. I thought it was interesting, Phil, the starting lineup. We're still kind of speculating on what the full-time starting lineup will be and how the minutes are going to be distributed. Marcus Howard started the game, which I thought was interesting. Kaiten Reinhart, he started as well after we saw Sam Hauser going with the first team in the exhibition at Marquette Madness. So still kind of a lot of moving parts as to who's going to play the most and who's going to start. What did you think of Howard and Reinhart starting?
You know, there was some halftime beer conversations with some folks about that. And I think, quite frankly, I would be surprised if for the majority of the non-conference if Howard is starting. I think this was probably more of a of Wojo wants to reward Marcus Howard for working hard and probably put, because by all accounts he's a gym rat and putting in his time and really working with the team and wanting to be the best player he can be as quickly as he can be. I would be surprised if Howard's starting against Vanderbilt, but could be wrong on that. I think Reinhart starting makes sense. Again, you want to put, and this is also the same reason I think I'd be surprised if Howard starts in the first couple of games. I think you want to put the players with the most experience on the floor. I don't think it would be a very wise move. And now they may get starters minutes at some point, but I don't think you want to put Sam Hauser or Marcus Howard, who again is 17. I don't think you want to put them in a position where they're starting under the bright lights right away and you know, maybe facing some opportunities to kind of get themselves into trouble early. So you might want to ease them in, but that's my opinion on how you would do it.
Yeah, the way the minutes are going to be distributed is really so fascinating, because Marquette essentially has four guard spots that they're going to rotate around Fisher and Helt playing in the middle. And there's so many pros and cons, and I think we've talked before, Phil, I think we both agree that Hanif Cheatham is going to be starting and playing a lot.
Yep.
I still feel that Tracy Carter is going to get the lion's share of the minutes at point guard, but you still got to get Rousey his minutes. Howard's probably going to play a fair amount, especially if he can shoot the ball as well as he has shown, both in that exhibition and playing for Team USA over the summer. And you got to think Dwayne Wilson's going to fit in somewhere and get plenty of minutes, and Sandy Cohen. How all are all of these guys going to fit in and work together? the rotations Wojo has to work with, it's good to have these options, but I'm going to be fascinated to see which groups work together the best. And I think that's still going to be determined, and we don't get a cupcake opponent in the first game necessarily to test things out. I mean, Vanderbilt is a team that could definitely beat Marquette. We're going to break down that game and the rosters in just a minute. But, yeah, I'm not sure who I like as far as a rotation. I guess we're going to have to see this team a little bit more, but my gut tells me that the starting lineup is going to be Carter, Cheatham, Juwan Johnson. I think Caton Reinhart over Hauser for now, and certainly Fisher in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and it's interesting from a minutes perspective. Again, it's an exhibition, and you know, Rockhurst scored the first two points, and then Marquette went on a 23-0 run. So the game was largely over by the 15-minute mark. But that doesn't mean there wasn't good lessons to be learned. But what was interesting, you mentioned Sam Hauser. I agree with your starting lineup. I think it's going to be Carter, Hanif, Juwan, Caton, kind of in that Trent Lockett role, and then Luke Fisher. But what was interesting is if you look at the minute distribution, Dwayne Wilson off the bench had the most minutes yesterday. Sam Hauser had the second most. So Dwayne had 22, Sam had 21. Tracy Carter had 20, even though he didn't start. And then Rousey and Sandy Cohen both had 19 minutes. So it was very interesting, the mix.
Hauser also took the most shots, for what it's worth.
Correct, and also went one for five from 3-point range. So, you know,
that needs to be improved.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, and I'm dancing around a little bit because I do want to get to Sam Hauser in this game, because after having seen him in Midnight Madness and after seeing him in the season ticket holders practice, and now having seen him in the exhibition and heard about the secret performance at the secret scrimmage against Dayton. Oh, that's a secret.
we'll talk about that in just a minute too.
Yeah, but Sam Hauser, I think, you know, we've been hearing some hype and I out of practice, but Sam Hauser is going to be really good, and Wojo's been quoted as saying, you know, we're going to get a lot of use out of him, and he's going to be important to this team. I'm starting to believe it. I mean, Sam Hauser was not good from distance, but we've seen him be good from distance. So, you know, it's gonna come and go, right? That's the issue with any shooter, is some nights they'll be really hot and some nights they might be really off. But I think Sam Hauser really is going to contribute at that four spot. I could see him getting 18, 19, 20 minutes a game and putting up some important buckets and important stats like rebounds.
Yeah, I think that's important because, you know, I was picturing Sam Hauser before I got a good look at him, that he would be maybe a skinnier guy and maybe not ready for the big time. Not that he's a huge guy, but he's not skin and bones out there.
He's solid.
He looks like he's pretty well built, and he's going to keep on getting stronger working with that Marquette training staff. And yeah, I think he's college ready as far as physically. And if he can shoot the ball, I think there's no reason he can't play a bunch of minutes. Especially, what is he listed at, 6'7"?
Yeah, 6'7".
He has the size to play that four and play it quite a bit. So yeah, we might see quite a bit of Sam Hauser as long as he's out there making good decisions and he defends, most importantly, the way that Wojo wants him to defend. And so I guess the one thing we haven't seen, get much of a chance to see from him just yet, because we've just had a couple exhibitions to, you know, to get a look at him as a college basketball player. But
I will say he brings a lot of energy. I was watching him a couple of times, specifically on the defensive end, and he was very energetic in fronting his man, because I think there's going to be a lot of ball pressure with fronting in the post this season, because, you know, just with our size deficiency, I don't think we can let the ball get into the post. And he certainly made some mistakes, but he was definitely energetic and generally in the right place at the right time. And again, if you can do that as an 18-year-old freshman, I think you can contribute, even if it is Rockhurst. I mean, he looked like he belonged on the court, which is a good development for this team, because post presence is something we're going to need.
Absolutely, because, you know, it's just going to be, other than that, it's just going to be Fisher and Helt down
right.
Low, and Marquette's going to need rebounding. And that, you mentioned statistically the rebounds were a bit of a concern in the game against Rockhurst. It doesn't look like, we knew going in that Marquette is not going to be a strong rebounding team per se just because of their size. But if Helt can add that, then, or not Helt, if Hauser can add that, as a guy playing alongside either Helt or Fisher, then I think that's going to be a big difference as Marquette gets into Big East play. Maybe he gets a little more comfortable.
Right.
You know, well, in rotation.
And the other thing, I'm going to make a statement that I'm sure people will misinterpret and people will think are insane, but I'm not necessarily directly comparing skill sets of Hauser to Ellenson. But from a style of play, I think what we're getting out of Hauser is what we all would have liked to have gotten out of Ellenson. You know, Ellenson's, again, is a skill set above and beyond what Sam Hauser has, but he was also kind of a ball stopper, was overly assertive within the offense at times. Otherwise, the players were deferential to him, whereas Sam Hauser seems to fit in with, at least so far, within the flow of the offense and can extend his range, can play down low as necessary. And I just was struck by, I think that's what I wished Ellenson was able to provide last season. So I think this is one of those things where we talked about Ellenson not being on the team, and that's a significant downturn, which is correct. But I think if Hauser can play to his potential, I think that subtraction isn't as significant as we think, because Hauser's skill set and outlook on the way the team plays is a greater positive than the overall negative of losing.
You know, as we were watching Villanova win the national championship last spring, I was saying I wish Marquette had a player like Chris Jenkins, just because of the size and range he brings. And then Wojo, on talking about signing day, he said he compared Hauser to Chris Jenkins, and now I wouldn't say he's quite as good as Chris Jenkins just yet, but I can see it.
Yeah, he can get there. I mean, he'll develop, right?
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited to see what Hauser brings to the team, just really just how the whole roster fits together, and that's why I'm very excited for this first game against Vanderbilt. It's going to be Friday. I think it is the first college basketball game in the country. It's at 5:30 Central Time. I don't know if there's any other game tips off before Marquette does on Friday. I think Marquette Vanderbilt is the first college basketball game of the season, and I'm certainly excited about it. And this is it's an interesting test, Phil, because this is not a bye game by any stretch of the imagination. And Vanderbilt is maybe rebuilding a little bit. They lost a couple of guys to the pros, and they have a new head coach in Bryce Drew, who had a great run at his alma mater at Valpo. Hard to tell what exactly to expect from Vanderbilt, but what are you expecting in this first game?
Well, it's going to be interesting. Doing a little internet digging, it sounds like Vanderbilt is, to a certain extent, a very similar constructed team to Marquette. You know, they don't have a ton of size at the center position. They've got a lot of kind of interchangeable pieces and potentially are going to rely on a lot of shooting. So it's going to be mirror images. I think what's interesting is that this is year three of the Wojo era with the players on the roster, so they should have plenty of experience, with the exception of the freshmen, and as to what Wojo is looking for in in-game situations and changing in the coaching that's coming from that. Whereas this Vanderbilt team, I think they're a little younger than Wade Baldwin left for the NBA. A couple of their other more experienced players have left. So I think Vanderbilt's going to show a lot of inexperience and probably turn the ball over, similar to what Marquette was doing last year, just based on the inexperience on the roster and a new coaching staff. So I think it'll be a hard-fought game, but I think Marquette's experience, this will be one of the first games where we see where having experience becomes relevant and important, especially so early in the season.
Yeah, by the way, we skipped over, but before we get on to this, Marquette maybe showed a little experience beating a little more seasoned team in Dayton in this quote-unquote secret scrimmage. I don't know if I've ever seen, by the way the Marquette social media, the Twitter handle, tweeted out some things from the secret scrimmage. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone do that. I guess the rules of a secret scrimmage are technically just has to be closed to the public and the media, and if you want to tell anybody anything, then that's fine.
I think the rules are they're like half of Fight Club. You can't talk about Fight Club prior to Fight Club happening. I think the secret scrimmages can be talked about after they happen, but you can't talk about them beforehand.
But yeah, so I guess that secret scrimmage against Dayton apparently went fairly well. Against Dayton should be a pretty decent team. But I agree with you, Phil. I think this is unlike last year when experience was a big factor against Marquette in just about every game. This may be a game where hopefully the experience of Marquette, which sounds crazy to say, but I think it does play a factor here, that Marquette should be a little bit more seasoned team, and hopefully they can force this younger Vanderbilt team on a neutral floor into some mistakes. And I'm cautiously optimistic that Marquette could start this season with a win. Again, it's hard to project that because really, honestly, don't know much about Vanderbilt other than they are kind of rebuilding under their new coach, but plus, we really don't know that much about our own team from aside from what we've seen in scrimmages.
Right. Yeah. And it's going to be an interesting environment. Like you said, it's the first game to tip of the new season of the games that actually count. It's at the Naval Academy. Hopefully, there won't be any condensation issues on the court.
Well, they're not playing on a ship, to my knowledge, so that should be fine.
Yeah, we should be okay, but you never know with the Navy. So it's on Veterans Day, so there's a certain gravity that's involved in that, and certainly the production of the game will lend itself to that. So I think it'll be a very interesting game. The thing that'll be good, again going back to that secret scrimmage, and Wojo talked about it in his interview afterwards, was that it gave them a chance to essentially practice being on a road game, right? Staying at hotels, getting checked in, doing walkthroughs, all of
right.
that stuff.
They played Indianapolis, yeah.
Right. So then that allows them, when they're going to Vanderbilt, again, they've already done this once, not that they'll be experts at it, but it should give them, you know, it should take some away some of the uncertainty and some of the nervousness just about being on a road trip and not knowing what to do. So I think Marquette gets the edge in this. Again, just based on experience, I can't say that Vanderbilt is more or less talented because we really don't know. But I think with the experience and the kind of the nervousness out of the way from a Marquette standpoint, I think they have the edge to kind of go into Annapolis and come away with a win.
Yeah, but one name that jumped out on that Vanderbilt roster for me is a kid I actually saw play here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. His name is DeJerry Baptiste. He must have redshirted last year because he didn't have any stats, or maybe he was hurt. But he is a big, tall, athletic kid. So if he's an impact, if he's in the lineup for Vanderbilt, I would be very wary of him because he was a pretty good player here in this Dallas-Fort Worth area where I live. But yeah, I feel pretty good about this opener. You know, neutral site game, so it's not a true road game, and the I think the experience factor and what little I've seen from the Marquette team so far, I am cautiously optimistic that they're going to be able to put up a bunch of points. You know, I hate to do the old live by the three, die by the three cliche, but there may be some games like that where Marquette hoists a bunch of threes and they just don't go down. But it looks Marquette is definitely going to be a team that shoots the ball from deep a lot. And if they shoot at a decent clip, they're probably going to have a much more efficient offense than they had last year, right? They're just going to get more out of their possessions. They're going to have more guys who can shoot the ball. So cautiously optimistic that the offense will be a little more productive, a little more efficient than it was a year ago.
Well, and you bring up a good point. I was going to mention the 3-point shooting, so that it's a good timing on that. I think one of the things that's nice in previous years, certainly the first 2 years under Wojo, even we weren't very good at 3-point shooting, and even the when we were good, it was one or two players, right? So if say Matt Carlino was off on a given night, you weren't going to make that up somewhere else, or you couldn't put somebody else in that would, you know, that might be hot. But given the interchangeable pieces in the five or six guards and pseudo guards that can shoot the ball, I think that Wojo will have the ability to kind of go with a hot hand at any given night. And right. It'll be true in Vanderbilt, and it'll be true throughout the season, where if he's got someone that's you know, maybe Dwayne Wilson is getting 30 minutes in a game because he just can't miss, whereas Juwan Johnson maybe Juwan Johnson, I had a brain freeze there for a second, you know, it gets hot the next night, and he plays 36 minutes because he can't miss, right? So Wojo will be able to move the pieces around and play the players that are going to give him the best chance to win at any given time.
That's a good point, because there will be inevitably games where one guy or another just is red hot, where, you know, Reinhardt comes off the bench or whatever and hits four threes in a row. It's like, well, you got to ride the guy, let him keep shooting. Or
right.
whether it's a game like somebody else may surprise you, Hauser, Cohen, who knows who it could be. So I think that's a good point, is there are plenty of guys who could get really hot on a given night, then you just ride that guy. And then if you have one of those guys who's for whatever reason his shot isn't falling, you don't need to force it. Say, you know, sit down, man. It's just not your night. Let's let one of the let's let somebody else here take care of it from here. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. We'll see how it kind of all plays out in the Vanderbilt game. So, you're predicting a win in the Vanderbilt game, Phil?
Yes, that is my prediction.
That is my prediction as well. My prediction is pain. So we're going to go now game by game and just go throughout the whole season and get a sense, a guess of what our prediction on the Marquette roster is going to be this year. So we both predicted a win in the Vanderbilt game. So we're going to go game by game. We're going to gloss over the bye games for the most part. So just for the record, Phil, Howard, IUPUI, Houston Baptist, Western Carolina, Fresno State, we could maybe talk about briefly, St. Francis, Pennsylvania, and SIU Edwardsville. Predicting wins in all those?
Yes, and predicting serious pain.
Hopefully. Hopefully there will be no drama in any bye games this year. So Vanderbilt win, Howard win for both me and Phil. So the next game after that would be the Michigan game. And so that's the
neutral site, New York City.
Yeah, the 2K Classic up there in New York City. Neutral site, I think this is going to be a tough one just because Beeline teams tend to be pretty well coached. They're ranked pretty high in the first KenPom rankings. They're 31 for what it's worth. KenPom does have this as a very close game, a one-point spread as a loss. I have it as a loss too, Phil.
I have it as a win. I think, again, experience comes in nicely. Michigan's turned the roster over a little bit more than Marquette has. Marquette's played plenty of times in Madison Square Gardens through various events as well as, you know, conference play at St. John's. So I think the team's coached up and clicking on all cylinders early this season.
So hopefully back to New York. Hopefully he goes back to New York and maybe they don't have to practice outside.
Yeah, let's get him some white t-shirts.
Those first two games have to go horribly. This is a pretty hot start to the season where three of the first four games are not bye games. But the next game after that, we don't know. It'll be either Pitt or SMU for what it's worth. Both of those actually very close to Marquette in KenPom rankings.
Well, and I was going to make that.
Marquette's 47, SMU's 48, and Pitt's 51. So all very close there.
Well, and I was going to make the point. I'm glad you brought up the rankings, even though I stepped on it there a little bit. Michigan, Pitt, and SMU are likely teams we're competing for when it comes to the NCAA tournament. You know, so they might be somewhere, I don't want to say on the bubble, but they're going to be somewhere on the rankings list as wanting to get in. So if we lose to any of those three games, that doesn't, you know, not that you want to be looking so far down the road now, but those are games you want to win because that could make the difference between being on the bubble or being on the good side or the bad side of the bubble.
Yeah, that is a good point. We don't know exactly how the bubble's going to shake out, how the tournament seedings are going to go. Who knows, maybe some of these teams are way better or way worse than are projected, but Marquette doesn't have that many chances to get good quality wins, but these games in New York are some opportunities there. So whoever the next opponent is, whether it's Pitt or SMU, I'm just going to go win based on the slight advantage in the early KenPom rankings. So I'm predicting a 1-1 trip to New York.
I'm going 2-0.
All right. So you got Marquette off to a hot start.
Correct.
Then next three bye games, we all say wins there. Then Marquette's first true road game will be December 4th at Georgia. KenPom, for what it's worth, has this as a close loss, a two-point loss. I'm going to go lost, too, just because the fact that it is the first true road game.
I'm going to go lost as well, as since it is a true road game, and I just don't feel comfortable. Even though I am super-duper over-the-top optimistic at all times around this team, I just don't think you can reach a conclusion with what we've seen, that you can go on the road to an SEC team in Georgia that's got talent and experience and be able to win on the road. I mean, I'd love to see it. I don't think you can call that right now.
Yeah, we're trying not to be homers and predicting a win in every game, whereas when we get to the week-to-week podcast, we'll probably predict a win in every game when we do that. But for the purposes of making this thing interesting, we're going to both go lost there. The next game, this is a tough stretch, by the way, at Georgia, Fresno State at home, not your average bye team, by the way.
And within like 3 or 4 days.
Right, and then Wisconsin coming up after that. We'll get to UW in a minute. We both predicted a win for the record against Fresno State, but that screams trap game to me.
Absolutely.
Even though, because Fresno State, where most bye games are, say, 250-plus, you know, Fresno State is a tournament team. They're 137 in KenPom.
So yes.
Very dangerous game, especially if, say, Marquette were to go to Georgia and win and come back on a high. That is a definitely a valley-type game, right, where you
right.
could be on a big high and come back home looking ahead to Wisconsin and lose. So be very wary of that Fresno State game.
Yeah, because you've got 2 days between Georgia and Fresno State, and then you've got Wisconsin looming 4 days away. So that, I mean, that's you could go into a tailspin there and lose all three of those games. It's not – you know, I'm not saying they will, but it's not outside the realm of possibility the way the schedule's set up.
All right, so going into that Wisconsin game, again, when we get to the podcast the week before the game, I'll almost certainly predict a win for Marquette. But again, for the sake of some unbiased predictions, Wisconsin is projected to be one of the best teams in the country. They're a top 10 KenPom team. So for that reason, for these projections, I'm putting UW down as a loss.
I also have to put them down as a Marquette down as a loss for that, though I will watch the Sam Decker dribbling a ball off his face gif repeatedly this afternoon to get that taste out of my mouth of predicting Wisconsin to win.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Oh, my God.
I mean,
it's amazing.
Well, during Game 7 of the World Series, that was dominating Twitter, just watching Decker take one off in the face.
It's been Badger hate season, not Badger hate week. It's been amazing.
We will see that GIF over and over and over again. GIF, GIF, whatever you want to call it. We'll see it over and over again. We'll see that Vine over and as long as Vine isn't destroyed by then, the week of Badger hate week, I'm sure. So we got two more bye games after Wisconsin before we start Big East play, St. Francis, and then SIU Edwardsville. By the way, coached by former Marquette player John Harris. So be nice when SIU Edwardsville comes to the Bradley Center. Give John Harris a big standing ovation because he was a very nice player during a transitional time for Marquette, right? He was the center on the team before the Final Four team, the 2002 team.
He was the original sheriff. He was the guy cleaning up the mess under the rim.
Very undersized power forward center, if you will, John Harris. He was a good player, and I'm happy to see him doing, you know, have his own head coaching job at SIU Edwardsville. But hopefully Marquette blows the doors off them by about 50 points. Then we go to – we got a Christmas break, and then Big East play begins, Phil. So before we go into that, for the record, you have them at 10-2 in non-conference. I have them at 9-3.
That is correct, and KenPom also has them – well, technically at 8-3, but, you know.
Again – KenPom doesn't have the Pitt-SMU game on the schedule just because it's not an official game yet. But for the record, Marquette is slightly ahead of both of those teams in the KenPom. So for the record, you could say KenPom probably has Marquette at 9-3 through non-conference. So I'm kind of basically aligned with KenPom there. So going into Big East play, Phil, the first game would be December 28th. That's a home game against Georgetown, expected to be a much-improved Georgetown team.
I feel like we say that every season. Georgetown's going to be really good this year. Based on that alone, I'm going to say Georgetown gets off to a rough start and loses on the road to a angry Marquette team having lost to Wisconsin a couple of weeks before.
I'm going to say the same. I'm going to say Marquette get things started off right. Ends 2016 on the right note by defeating Georgetown. Then two road games, Phil, and these look to be two tough ones, in my opinion, to start 2017. At Seton Hall first, and then at the national champions, Villanova. I have both of these games as losses.
I'm riding my optimistic soapbox, and I think Seton Hall, I'm not convinced that the Isaiah Whitehead moving on to the NBA won't be more significant. So I think Seton Hall is going to struggle. So I have Marquette going on the road. I think Seton Hall will be like Providence was last year for us, where everyone kind of goes, how did they beat them twice? So I think Marquette beats Seton Hall on the road, but definitely will lose to Villanova, even without Arshad Dinakano.
Archie.
I don't know why I keep trying to pronounce the names I know I can't pronounce. It's a character flaw.
We broadcasters in college basketball everywhere won't miss Ryan Archie Diacono just for that reason. They don't have to say his name. But poor Chuck or Chuck and Kenny in the studio won't miss him either when they get around to March Madness.
If they ever figure out how to get the smart board working.
All right, so let's move on back to the schedule. Marquette plays Seton Hall twice in his first four Big East games, by the way. So do you have Marquette winning on the return game just a week later?
I do. I do think they turn around and win again.
All right, I have them beating Seton Hall in the rematch, and then hopefully beating DePaul at home in the next one.
I have them beating DePaul likely on a last-second shot or something. Those DePaul games are always depressingly close.
Just get the garbage free throw or whatever at the end and just get a win. Then going to Hinkle and then playing Butler after that, I have that one as a loss.
I have that as a loss as well. It's kind of starting a bad trend here for Marquette over the next couple of games.
Yeah, I actually have a little mid-season funk here. I actually have three straight losses for Marquette. Here at Butler, at Creighton, and then Villanova at home. That's a tough three-game stretch there.
Yeah, I think Creighton is going to be probably the most improved team in the Big East, so I think it's going to be really tough to go into Creighton and win on the road. So I think with Butler on the road and Creighton on the road, and then coming back Nova back home, that's going to be real tough. And I think the fan base will be slightly disgruntled at that point. But have no fear, there's help coming in the form of some pretty terrible teams.
Yeah, so hopefully this is the rebound stretch here. I actually have four straight wins in Marquette's next four games after that three-game funk, Phil. I have wins at home over Providence, on the road at St. John's, on the road at DePaul, gulp, and then a home game against Butler. So I have four straight wins after that little three-game funk.
I do as well. I think Providence is going to be terrible. Providence and DePaul, DePaul's probably going to be really awful, but I think Providence is going to be pretty bad as well. They just lost an exhibition game, granted without their point guard, but they lost pretty convincingly in an exhibition game. I just don't think Providence has the ability to reload, and we've talked about it. So, I think,
right? Yeah, I think losing Dunn and Bentel, I mean, that's significant. I mean, that's really, really tough. I mean, that's inside and out. They're two best players, two All Big East players last year, two pros. Ed Cooley's a good coach. I think he's just going to be rebuilding a little bit this year.
Right.
So,
well, let's be honest. Providence, St. John's, and DePaul's are probably going to be the bottom three teams. And those three teams, we need to get two wins from each of those teams. We got to, if we're going to get to 10 wins at a minimum to advance in the into the postseason, we're going to need to get six wins from those three teams.
Exactly. Yeah, you got to beat the teams at the bottom. If you want to get to the NCAA tournament, you have to beat the teams at the bottom of your league. All right, so the next game after that one, this could be a turning point game, Phil, whether is Marquette's going to make a push towards the tournament or still kind of stay in neutral and stay on the bubble or below. It's at Georgetown. That's a tough one. I have it as a loss.
I still think I have it as a win because I have no confidence that Georgetown will be any good. They kind of fell apart last season with more talent than I think they have this season. So I think Marquette can go on the road. And again, Marquette's sudden experience that it hasn't had in previous seasons will make a difference.
They have a couple transfers to be wary of. One that Marquette was trying to get last year. Remember the guy from Louisville, Agao, I think his name was? So he'll be eligible by this point. I mean, he'll be eligible the first time they play, too, after transferring midseason. So I think the transfers for Georgetown could make a difference, and I think that's why I think they'll be better and might even be a tournament team this year. But I have that as a loss. Next game, which, is by the way, is National Marquette Day. Bummer, I have this as a loss as well. I hate to say it, but Xavier at home is a tough one.
I think Xavier's just too good. I think Xavier and Nova are heads above, and Creighton maybe comes closest, but I think Xavier and Villanova are the two best teams in the Big East, and I just don't know that Marquette has enough firepower to get it done against X, and we never play well on National Marquette Day anyway. So, plus, if we're wearing the baby blue, the championship blues, man, we've got everything going against us.
Hopefully not, but yeah, hopefully we're both wrong on that one. Then, finish the season strong, Phil. St. John's at home at Providence.
Both
two
wins.
Promising games. I have two wins there.
I do as well.
And then two real tough games. If Marquette is fighting for tournament position, postseason, any postseason hopes at all, they could really prove themselves with these last two games. At Xavier, really tough one. And then Creighton at home. I have that Xavier game as a loss.
I actually have the Xavier game as a win for Marquette. I think they got to go on. You know, their backs will be against the wall a little bit. Need to go on the road and get a win against a great team. So I think they pull off the upset there.
Wow, that'd be significant. So then last game of the season, Creighton at home. I think it'll be a desperation time. I have Creighton at home as a win.
I have them giving it all back after that great win against Xavier on the road and losing to Creighton. I think Creighton's a team that, you know, that you could beat them on any given night, but they're also a team that could literally beat anyone in the country on a given night if their shooting's right and they're able to rebound. So I think that's a tough loss to wrap up the conference season, but I think it's one Marquette gets away, maybe after getting a little too euphoric about the Xavier victory.
Yeah, it would be something I would be able to stomach if they were able to go on the road and beat Xavier. So, but for the record, just doing all the math here. So I have Marquette at 10-8 in Big East play. You have them at 11-7, correct?
As the resident optimist, yes.
So 21-9 overall is what you have Marquette at. I have them at 19-11 overall. KenPom has them at 19-11 overall. 9-9 in conference. So basically, KenPom has them getting swept by the top two teams, Villanova and Xavier, sweeping the bottom two teams, St. John's and DePaul, if I have that correct, and then road splits, home and home splits with everyone else. So KenPom has Marquette at 9-9 in the Big East. See, regardless of which of those three projections you take, Phil, I think that's all bubble talk, right?
Yes.
I think whether it's the high end, which is yours at 21-9, 11-7, or the low end, which is 19-11, 9-9, which is what KenPom has. I think that's a bubble team. I think, you know, 9-9 in the Big East would probably be on the wrong side of the bubble. Whereas I think if you get double digits in the Big East, I think probably on the good side, especially if you get to 11 like you have them. I think that would be, but that seems to be the general sense of some national writers. For what it's worth, the early, way too early bracket projections, some of those came out. Joe Lunardi had his. He had Marquette as one of the next four out. So I think that's kind of the general sense nationwide, Phil, of what Marquette is a team that's on the wrong side of the bubble. And while we hope they are slightly better than that, I think that's a fair projection based on what we have.
Yeah, based on what we know. There is no evidence, direct evidence, to say this team will be significantly better than last year. So I think you have to go on a little bit of faith and extrapolate off some really rough estimates based on, you know, make-believe games, essentially, to arrive at their significantly better. But I don't think on paper there is no reason they can't be significantly better. It's just a question of whether or not they will be better in execution and limit their turnovers, and that'll come down to coaching. So, you know, basically the writers aren't putting a lot of faith in Wojo right now, but he also hasn't proved it yet. So,
yeah, just so many unknowns, right? We don't know exactly what we're going to get out of Rousey, what we're going to get out of Hauser, what we're going to get out of Reinhardt, who's going to play what minutes, how's this team going to make up for the lack of rebounding, if the turnovers are going to go way down. I think these are all things hopefully we would have a good grasp of by the time we get into the middle of December, say Wisconsin game, right? I think we'd have maybe a good grasp of what is better than expected, what is worse than expected. But based on preseason projections, what we know for right now, I think predicting Marquette as a team just south of the bubble, I think is pretty fair.
Yep. I think they'll finish better, but I think it's a totally fair estimate.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show with just a few thoughts on the roster. You can call it preseason awards, I guess. Just a few notes on who we think is going to stand out in one way or another for the Marquette team this year. Phil, let's start with your preseason pick for MVP. Who is going to be the best player for this team this year?
I think I'm going to continue my man crush from last year, and I'm going to go with Hanif Cheatham. I think he's got a lot of tools to really light up the scoreboard, and in some instances could become a one-man fast break himself. So I think Hanif Cheatham, Haney, as most people call him, I think will be our MVP.
And I think his turnovers, as I said before, will be way down this year because he's not going to be playing point guard.
Correct.
Because he won't have to, right? Because there are at least three guys on the roster who would play point guard before he would. Tracy Carter, Andrew Rousey,
Marcus Howard.
And Marcus Howard would all play point guard. And maybe even Dwayne Wilson would play point guard before he would. So
you would hope. He is not a point guard, that's for sure.
Yeah, he led Marquette in turnovers last year. Actually, he had the number in front of me. Was it 80? 88 turnovers last year. That led the team.
That's
and
bad, right?
Second on the team was Henry Ellenson. So I think Hanifs are going to go way down because he's essentially having a position change, and Ellenson's won't be there as well. So hopefully those turnovers numbers go down. As far as my pick for an MVP, I think the easy pick is Fisher, but I'm going to go with Juwan Johnson just because I think he is slowly but steadily over the last year and a half started to live up to that five-star status he had as a high school recruit. And I think he really, really started to come through as a leader last year. He made some, you know, his jump shot was coming around, and and the way he attacked the basket last year, I thought really impressed me. And I think the team's going to need a lot from him this year. And I think because he's going to have to rebound a little more, and I think he will. And I think because of what he's going to do on both ends of the floor this year, I think Juwan Johnson's going to be the team MVP. So he's my preseason pick.
Well, and that's good. I mean, he had a very interesting in the exhibition game. You mentioned his ability to drive the basket. One of the things that really struck out to me is if he gets into the lane, I think he's going to score. I mean, he plays with such length, and quite frankly, from when his freshman season to now, it's remarkable at how much he's playing slower. You know, you can see him thinking a little bit more and being more deliberate, even though he's still going fast, right? He's not rushing. He's being very deliberate, and I think he's gonna be one that can light up the scoreboard as well.
Yeah, I'm cautiously, I use that word a lot, I am optimistic that he will have a big senior year offensively, and I think he's going to do what needs to be done on the defensive end of the floor as well. So that's why Juwan Johnson is my pick for MVP. What about your pick for the top newcomer, Phil? So of the guys who were not on the team last year, or at least not on the roster, so that would be, or not on the active roster, so that would be between Rousey, Reinhardt, Howard, and Hauser. Who is your pick for the newcomer?
I'm going to take Hauser again. After I hyped him up in this podcast, I think the hype is real about what he can contribute to this team. I think he's going to have off nights from time to time because he's a freshman and he's going to make some dumb plays. But I think his talent is really there, and he sits in a significant gap in the four position that Rockwell needs him to, Rockwell, then Marquette needs him to do well. Oh, that was crossing the streams there for a moment. But that Marquette needs him to perform at and perform well out. So he's going to have plenty of opportunities, and he's got the talent. I think he's going to be the one we remember as the newcomer from this season.
You know, if any one of us was going to bring our real jobs into this podcast, I thought for sure it would be me first. I thought like maybe first I would call this the Prep Ticket Podcast or Welcome into Sports Stars of Tomorrow or something like that. But then you go ahead and drop a Rockwell on us. That was spectacular.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope everyone's in. Are you not entertained?
That was beautiful. All right, my pick for the newcomer is going to be Rousey. You know, he's been with the team for a year. So, you know, I think he's a little more accustomed to the offense, and he has scored more points than anyone on the roster, right? So I think he's going to be a big-time shooter. He's going to add some stability to that backcourt as the veteran back there. And I think he's honestly my pick to lead the team in three-point shots made. So I think Rousey's going to be my guy as the pick for the newcomer, and I think he's going to make a big difference.
That's a solid pick.
All right. How about breakthrough athlete. I'm talking ESPY Awards now. How about your pick for a breakthrough player for Marquette this year, a guy who either played very little or not at all last year, who is going to have a big step forward this year?
I'm going to pick Dwayne Wilson, and somebody may say, well, he's gotten plenty of minutes and plenty of points. He wouldn't be a breakthrough. I think this year he's going to kind of silence the doubters within Marquette and kind of live up to his talent. So he may not be the leading scorer. He may not be the best player on the roster, but I think he's really going to win himself the hearts and minds of Marquette fans after the way he handled the Nigel Hayes kind of thing. He had a good interview with the Journal Sentinel about being a leader and maturing into a leader and right, something that this team needs. I think he's got his head on real straight this season, and I think he's going to let his talent do the work, and I think he's going to be a strong leader for this team. I think he may not be leading the team in scoring, but in clutch moments, he may be between Juwan, I think those will be the two guys that step up the most. So I think Dwayne Wilson will be the breakthrough. Huh, this guy's really good kind of moment for the team this year.
Yeah, even though he does have a year of eligibility left after this, he is essentially is a senior. He and Juwan have been with the Marquette program more than any other guys on the roster, right? Because Fisher and Reinhardt both transferred in. So, I mean, they are both seniors academically. So, yeah, I think his leadership, I think, that's a good point, is a reason why a lot of guys are going to be looking up to him. And I think his comments on Hayes and leadership, and you mentioned the interview he did with the Journal Sentinel, I think that's a good pick. Taking a different definition of breakthrough, but you're right. I think people expected a lot from him last year. Maybe he wasn't quite up to what some people thought, but I think that's a pretty good pick. I'm going to go a little outside the box here, just me being a little more hopeful about it, and I'm going to go with Matt Helt, and I'm going to explain why. Because Marquette needs him to do something this year, right? He didn't have much of an opportunity last year because obviously he was blocked kind of by Ellenson in the rotation and Fisher, and he also got hurt towards the end of the year. So
and
he was a
skinny freshman.
Yeah, and he was very skinny. He was very raw. He, by all accounts, I mean, he's filled out pretty nicely physically. Looks like he's put in the work in the weight room. And Luke Fisher is not going to play 35, 40 minutes a night. They're going to need something from Matt Helt. Now, I'm not saying Matt Helt is going to average like 10-8 for Marquette or anything this year. But I think by the end of the year, he is going to be a steady, consistent rotation guy. Whereas by the end of the year, all of us are going to be saying, all right, I'm comfortable with him being the starting center next year, as opposed to, oh my gosh, what are we going to do when Luke leaves? So that is kind of my hope for Matt Helt, is that he is going to be a solid, dependable backup to Luke Fisher, where when he comes into the game, everyone's going to be like, all right, it's Helt time, and he's going to give us a few solid minutes here, he's going to get some rebounds, maybe block some shots, score a couple points, and then hand it back over to Fisher. So I am optimistic that Helt takes a big step forward this year.
I agree with your selection and your rationale, because one of the things, again, early limited, almost fake games, but Fisher hasn't shown an ability or hasn't grown, it seems, from previous years where he avoids dumb fouls. Like in the Rockhurst game, he committed two fouls in the first half, both of which were totally unnecessary fouls. So we're going to have to depend on Matt Helt getting, I don't want to say significant minutes, but getting important minutes that allows Fisher to sit on the bench with foul trouble. I don't think Fisher will have foul trouble every game. I don't think he's that bad, but there will definitely be games where, you know, especially when we're going against teams with much more size in the post, where Fisher might be getting into foul trouble, and Helt's going to have to kind of fill that gap. I think he's capable of it, and if he does fill that gap, I think it's entirely reasonable to say he's the breakthrough player, because that'll kind of be one of those unheralded tasks for Matt Helt to be able to achieve.
Yeah, like I said, I'm hoping he breaks through, because Marquette really needs him to. They're going to need another big man off the bench, and he has to be that guy, because there's really not anyone else back there who can provide you much as far as a post presence and rebounding. So that is my hope for Matt Helt for this week. So I guess I'll do it for our preseason picks and for our podcast. I am excited about the season, Phil. I'm looking forward to it. You know, for better or for worse, I hope this is a big breakthrough season for the Marquette team as a whole. I hope some people get off Wojo's back a little bit. I know the team hasn't been in the tournament in a while, but that's not really his fault, because I'd say the first 2 years of not going to the tournament you can put on the previous administration. But I think this really is Wojo's team now. I mean, pretty much every guy on the roster is a guy who Wojo either brought in or convinced to stay, right? Because I think anyone else would have transferred or left by now. So these are all Wojo's guys. He either signed them, or these are guys who have committed to play, who have decided, like, Wojo's our guy and I'm not going anywhere else. So I am hopeful for this team. I am hopeful that they can make the tournament. As I've said, I think the tournament is a realistic goal. Maybe not fair to say as an expectation that they have to get there, but I really think that this team could sit in that locker room and be practicing at the Al McGuire Center every day saying, we're a tournament team and we're going to go out and prove it.
Yep, I agree. I'm just excited that the season is here and we're going to see them play real basketball as opposed to speculative basketball in our heads and on a podcast.
Excited to learn more about them. And again, we'll be doing this every week, hopefully, time permitting. And we'll welcome your questions and your comments and what you think about the show and anything else you want us to add to it. If you have any questions or anything, hit us up on Twitter @CrackSidewalks is the team page. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is M-triple-O-F 23. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. And also, like us, rate us, listen to us on iTunes as well. Let's go, Marquette.
Yep, let's get a big one. Win it for the military.
Let's do that. Let's do exactly that. Until next time, everyone, seashells and balloons.